Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just love you. Lord, today we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, that even though our earthly fathers may fail us, even though this earth, even though our bodies, even though everything else, the economy, all of our hopes and dreams might fail us, but our good Father in heaven does not change and you will not fail us. You are perfect in every way. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you, God, for the joy that you give us, that peace that you give us, that we can't even think about how great it is. We can't even speak on how great it is. We can just try our best. Lord, you are good. You are perfect in every way. And Lord, we stand as believers united today on the corner of Route 6 and Route 15 in Fluvanna County, and we proclaim that this morning. In the middle of all the chaos, in the middle of all the hatred in the world, Lord, we proclaim the goodness of God, and we proclaim the grace that we receive through Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, let's take our seats. So I get myself untangled here, we'll get started. If you have your Bibles with you, I just want to stay there and sing all day myself. I don't know about y'all. If you have your Bibles with you, if you want to go ahead and turn back to the book of Matthew. If you haven't been with us, we've been studying and just preaching through the books of the Bible. So we've been just going line by line, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, however you want to say. We've been just preaching straight through books. We went through Ephesians, we went through the book of James, and now we're in the book of Matthew, which we've been here since September, which is crazy. But that's what happens when you just stick to it, and we're going to be there for a while. So we took a break last week, but go ahead and find that. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, if you want to go ahead and find that. So before we get started in the message, I just want to tell you this. The nominating committee, Charlotte, if you'll raise your hand, is starting to do their little work that they do behind the scenes that a lot of people don't even know that goes on to create and to make sure that everybody is plugged in, that they can work in the church. And so their job is to go around and just to talk to people and say, like, where would you be willing to serve here? Would you be willing to do this? And so I'll encourage you with this, and even those who are listening who can't make it today, if you couldn't make it today, don't wait for her or somebody from the nominating committee to come to you and ask you to do something if you feel led to do something. Because if you want to get plugged in, and we're going to be talking about it today, and it ties right in, make sure that you get with us and we will plug you in somewhere. Because even Jesus said it in Matthew, we're going to get to that eventually, probably like a year from now. He said what? He said, don't, you know, you need to go pray for more workers to rise up, because the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And it's the same way in the church. And we have a church full of workers, but we always need more. And so be thinking about that. Now, with that being said, I'm not going to preach a sermon on it. Make sure that if you're tired, if you're worn out, or maybe if you've just been in a position for a while, be praying. If maybe God wants to raise up somebody new to give you a break for a little while, be thinking about that, and be thinking about who could maybe come in that you could disciple or that you could raise up to be another person serving in your role. Amen? So y'all with me? That's a plug. We'll get back to that at the end. So in this part of the Sermon on the Mount, we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, we see Jesus giving us a warning about materialism. He's giving us a warning about loving our wealth and about serving our wealth and being a slave to our wealth. So before we read the scripture this morning, I want all of us to ask ourselves just a few simple questions. And here's number one. What do you spend most of your time thinking about it? Let's just stop there for a second and think. What captivates you, or what holds your mind and your thoughts most of the time? What is it? One thing that you can think of that you normally think about. What do you spend time seeking after? What do you spend time going after in life? And what do you put all your energy into? What is it that, what, think about it, just be honest with yourself for a minute, and really think about what is it that I put all my energy and everything into? This passage that we're going to read in just a few minutes deals with these questions. Jesus is warning us not to center ourselves around and our lives around things of this world. He reminds us the fact that nothing on this earth will ever last forever. It will not last forever. It is going to fade away. So let's go ahead, and if you've got your Bibles, read Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 24. Teaching about money and possessions. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them. and where thieves break in and steal. Store up your treasures in heaven, where moths and thieves cannot destroy, and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Your eye is the lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness really is. No one can serve two masters. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money both. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, we thank you for your perfect scriptures. Lord, we thank you for the Sermon on the Mount that we're going through today and this part of it. Lord, we just thank you for the words of our Savior Jesus. Lord, I just pray today that your spirit would be on the move here, would your spirit would be on the move with those who are listening online, and that we would listen to not the words that I speak, but Lord, the words that you want to speak to each person's heart, the words that you want to speak to my heart today, Lord, that we would open our hearts, we would open our minds, we would set aside all the distractions, set aside all the to-do list, and all those things that we get so distracted with, and we would just focus on you, focus on your spirit this morning, and listen to what you're telling us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Are y'all still with me this morning? God is good. Amen. All right, so let's look back at verse 19, and I was going to read that again, but my pages are going to be blown all over the place. I got to hold a microphone and everything else. So just look back at verse 19. Jesus has given us right here, right off the get-go, he gives us what not to do first. And I've talked about this before, and I love it how Jesus will tell you what not to do, but he doesn't just leave you there. A lot of things, a lot of teachers, a lot of people in the world itself will tell you, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that, don't, you know, whatever. But Jesus never just leaves us hanging like that. He'll tell us what not to do, but then he'll also tell us what the remedy is for it and what we are to do. And if you hear me pause during the service at all today, it's going to be let some of the motorcycles go by so everybody can hear. He says this, don't store up treasures on earth. He says, don't do it. And then he actually tells us two facts about these worldly riches. He tells us what they are. So before we really talk about it, we're going to do the same thing with heavenly treasures. I want to, what actually is earthly treasures? What do we spend time? It's different with everybody. It could be houses. It could be money. It could be cars. It could be jewelry. It could be possessions of any kind. It could be fame and power. Maybe your position. Whatever it is, these are worldly riches. In fact, not only will they not last forever, but they are constantly, or as we speak right now, they are aging and they are falling apart. They're decaying. They're wasting away as we speak. We've all heard that old song that says, Jesus loves me, right? Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. This is true. And Jesus does love us, and that's exactly why he's warning us to not center our lives around worldly things. He's saying, look, I do love you, and I want the best for you. Listen, this is what these lessons and this Sermon on the Mount is all about. He's trying to get his disciples, and he's trying to get us to understand the way to the truth, the way to a good life, a more abundant life. Listen what he says in John 10:10. The thief, talking about Satan, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. And then Jesus says this about himself, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Some translations say an abundant life. Jesus wants us to have a rich, and he wants us to have a satisfying life. We just have to decide what kind of riches and what kind of satisfactions that we want. What do we really want? Are we going to store up our treasures on earth? Or are we going to store up our treasures in heaven? Are we going to have a heart for Jesus, or are we going to have a heart for this world? Are we going to serve the world and let it be our master? Or are we going to let Jesus Christ be our Lord and master? Those are the questions that we're going to cover today. That's what he's going to talk about. You see, anything that dominates our thoughts, anything that dominates my life becomes my treasure. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about. And here's what Jesus tells us about worldly stuff. Number one is this. Earthly treasures are what? Corruptible. They're fading away. And in case you didn't notice, everything on earth is fading away. Even if you don't believe it, go look in the mirror when you get about 40 years old and see what's happening to our earthly bodies, right? Everything we have is decaying. My pickup truck over there, I love that thing. I love my old truck. But guess what? It's got a big hole in the side of it. It's just rusting away as we're standing here speaking. And we're talking about it. I had this old truck that I restored once, probably 10 years ago now, 10 or 15 years ago. And I put all my money, everything I could do. And sometimes, you know, it caused a lot of fights in our house because I was spending so much money. I was so devoted to restoring this old truck. It was painted this like really pretty bright red. And I did everything I could do because it had a bunch of rust in it. And I put new metal in there and I fixed it all up. And we repainted and all those things. And just a year after we did all that work, guess what bubbled up on the bottom of the driver's door, right where everybody sees it? A whole bunch of rust came right back. No matter how hard I tried, it was decaying and it was rotting away. The more I tried to fix it, the more it seemed like it was falling apart. So it is with everything in this world. Even fame, even fortune, doesn't matter what it is, it's all temporary. Number two, the second thing that Jesus reminds us, because we should already know it, that he tells us about worldly treasure is this. They're insecure. Okay, it doesn't matter. I've got a safe at my house, and I can lock up my guns, and I can do all those things. But it's not but so secure. We can lock our doors in our house. We can lock our doors to the church building, all those things. But it's really not secure. Somebody could break the window and go on in. With the right tools, someone could break into any safe that's ever been made. They're insecure. They can be stolen. They can be eaten up. Unless you got mothballs, that keeps your sweaters from, apparently, I don't know, but makes you smell like mothballs anyways. They can be eaten up by moths, they can be lost, and none of them can be taken with us when we die. None of them can be taken with us. That's what he tells us. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7, Paul says this, "After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into this world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave." That old saying, have you ever seen a hearse with a U-Haul trailer behind it? No. No matter how much we have stored up here on earth, the moment that we die, none of it matters. None of it matters. If you don't believe me, go to the book of Ecclesiastes and see what he says about our worldly desires and our worldly achievements and all those things. It's here one day and it's gone the next. So there's a simple facts that we already know about worldly riches. They are fading away, they're insecure, and we know that they're corruptible. Look at verse 20 and let's see what Jesus says about heavenly treasures. Look there at verse 20. Here we see Jesus telling us what to do. He's telling us this is what you should be doing. If you want to live a good and a satisfying and a rich life and an abundant life, this is the key. He's telling us right here. This is the key to it. He says, store your treasures in heaven. Pretty simple. So before we look at what Jesus is telling us about these heavenly treasures, we're going to do the same thing. What are heavenly treasures? I've read this before, and I'm like, yeah, what is he really talking about? So I want you to get your pen and paper if you have it. If not, go back, listen to the podcast or whatever. Write these down if you're a note taker. And I'm going to give you some scripture to go back and show you some of your heavenly treasures. So if you go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it talks about because of Christ, we live a blameless and faultless life. That's a pretty big treasure, wouldn't you agree? Are y'all with me this morning? Amen? And all the sin that I've committed, that I could be blameless and faultless before God, that's a pretty big treasure. Becoming a child of God, if you go to John chapter 1, verse 12, we know that if we're in Christ, we become a child of God. I don't know about you, but being a child of God is a pretty big treasure to me. Being forgiven of your sin, 1 John 1, verse 9, it talks about that. Godly wisdom, to have some, just a little piece of the wisdom that God himself has, who is perfect and all-knowing. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13 and 18 tell us that. Understanding God's will for your life. How many people walk through life and they walk around just lost? They're just aimlessly, they think they have no purpose in life. We don't have to live like that. Those of us who are believers, those of us who get into God's word and we believe what he says that he wants for us. If you go to Psalm 57, it talks about that, how God wants us to, he has a purpose for our life and he wants the best for us. And of course, the eternal inheritance we have in Christ, John 3:16. All those who believe in him, what? We will not perish, we have eternal life. What more treasure could we ever ask for than that? The Holy Spirit. We actually have God's Spirit dwelling in us if we are a believer in Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. Go read about the Holy Spirit, how powerful and what a treasure that is in our life. And of course, that abundant life that abundant joy that is so filling that it overflows out of us and affects the world, and it changes the world, and it changes those who we interact with. You can see that in Romans chapter 15 if you want to look that up later this week. See, that's what heavenly treasure looks like, and that's just a few. We could stand here all day. I could stand here, I could preach 100,000 sermons on what heavenly treasures look like and how great they are. So what does he say about heavenly treasures? What is it that he wants us to know about heavenly treasures? So here it is. He's going to give us two facts, if you look in verse 20, two facts about our heavenly treasures that are exact opposite. They're opposite than those of the worldly treasures. Number one is this: heavenly treasures are incorruptible. And number two, heavenly treasures are secure. That's what he tells us. Second Peter tells us this, chapter 1, verse 4. He says, "And because of his glory and his excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires." See, once we have decided to follow Jesus, once we have asked him to be our Lord and Savior, your heavenly treasures, they're not only perfect, they're not only endless, but they're incorruptible and they are secure. Nobody can take them from you. You don't believe me? Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. It says this: "I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither your fears for today or your worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love." That's a pretty precious promise. Maybe that's what Peter was talking about. "No power in the sky above, in the earth, or below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord." So often, though we know the differences in these worldly treasures, even though we know, I know my truck's going to rust away. I know that even no matter how much money I have stored away or hidden in my closet or in my safe or whatever, I got a bunch of it, by the way, just so y'all know. But just kidding. Jenny's going to go home and dig through my closet now. So anyways, no matter how much money I've got stacked away, no matter how great the economy is, no matter how great my business is going, whatever, we know it's, time has proven it, that it can be gone just like that. As quickly as we receive it, it can just be gone in a blink of an eye. That's why Jesus goes on to talk about our heart, because our heart, if this is what we're running after, the worldly things, if we're putting all of our hope and our treasure and our wealth and all these things, there's something missing in our heart. There is somewhere our heart is running after. It's something deeper than just our wants. Our heart hasn't truly grabbed a hold of God's promises, because and God knows that if he's got our heart, he's got us all. If he can just get our heart, he's got the rest of us. Our hearts are in the wrong place. Look at verse 21. Let's go to there. And this is Jesus talking about our heart. Here we see Jesus warning us about two kinds of hearts. Jesus makes it perfectly clear that when we store up the wrong kind of treasures, it's a sign that our heart is not fully devoted to him. Our heart's simply in the wrong place. What we treasure will control us. That's what he's talking about. Think about it. Whatever your treasure is, he says what? Show me where your treasure is, and that's where your heart is. This will be where we spend all of our time serving. This is what we're going to feed. Whatever is our treasure is what we're going to put everything we got into. For most Americans, I can tell you, we spend most of our entire lives trying to make more what? Trying to make a little more money. That's what it's all about. Me and my friend have talked about it. Hey, man, we restore tractors on the side and we make a little money and we have fun hanging out in the shop and working on stuff. And we all say, hey, better making some money, making that money. That's what we do. We always, that's the American mentality. We say we got to make more money. We need more money. But you know what that does? It just makes us spend more money. And then we want more money so we can spend more money. And most of the time, we're on the back side of things. We're spending money before we got it, and then we're trying to earn money so we can pay off the credit cards. And many of us are so busy working to pay for this success that we consider success, because success with Americans, most of us, is what kind of possessions do we have, how much money do we have, and how big is our house, what kind of job do we have, all these things. We spend so much time chasing after these things that we don't even have time to enjoy the possessions that we're working so hard to pay for, right? Anybody ever experienced that but me? I mean, am I the only one that had to learn that the hard way and still has to learn it sometimes? If we don't have time to enjoy those things that we work so hard to get, you know we're not taking the time to enjoy those heavenly treasures that God gives us for free. Amen? Whether we admit it or not, worldly treasure controls us all because we're full of the flesh. We're full of the flesh. Excuse me. Jesus is telling us here that we are to live contently with what we have. The Bible tells us over and over again just to live contently. Paul said, told Timothy, he said, you know what true wealth is godliness, is knowing God and having a relationship with Him. That's true wealth. But because we Jesus wants us to be focused on these eternal values over these temporal ones, and when he starts talking about our heart, because he knows it's the most important. If God has our heart, the rest of us will start to follow in other ways. God, I had to learn that the hard way. For years, I played church. I went to church. I had a Bible. I could carry my Bible into church, but I never opened it. I never read it. Yeah, I might open it during church and follow along, but I never spent time really investing in my heavenly treasures. And it wasn't until, I've talked about it before, it wasn't until I was like 30 years old that I actually really realized what heavenly treasures are, and I'm still learning about them. God wants our heart because everything else will fall into place. Look at verse 22 and verse 23. Every time I read these two verses, it makes me think of the trips that I've taken to India. All the Hindu people that I've met there, that I've been blessed to meet there, all the towns that we would go in, 99.9% of all the people that we encounter in India were Hindu. And they're taught from a childhood that there are thousands of different gods. All right, that there's a God over this, there's a God over that, there's a God, blah, 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 blah. You got to do all these things. They literally worship these idols and they worship these statues. Everywhere we would go, even driving through the jungle out in the middle of nowhere, it would look like something off of Indiana Jones. Has anybody ever seen that movie? Where it's just creepy looking. You know, be thick in woods and you just come upon this huge altar, this huge concrete statue out in the middle of the jungle, and people would be down on their face worshiping this thing and leaving the only food that they had to feed their children at the feet of this statue. I've seen it with my own eyes. Everywhere you go in India, you see people worshiping them. And if you can't get to one of those big statues, you can go to the store and buy a little miniature statue and put it in your house and worship it from home. I remember seeing the darkness in the people's eyes. I remember meeting new people and saying, hi, my name is, you know, this or whatever. And the translator would talk to them and translate those things. And I could see the darkness in their eyes. Now, you might think I'm sounding crazy right now, but I'm telling you, I could see the darkness. I could see that there was no hope. It was like they were staring off into the abyss. They were staring off into the darkness with no hope whatsoever. Have you ever seen somebody who was either born blind or lost their eyesight? They have that, they you can tell because they have that stare, because they're not focused on anything. They're just looking straight ahead. That's the kind of look that I witnessed in these people's eyes in India. And then I would meet the believers. We'd go to a church service and we'd meet the small crowd of believers that were in a certain village. And I'm telling you, you could see the sparkle and you could see the little twinkle in their eye, because they had joy and they had hope and they were looking with a purpose in life. Other than just, they weren't worshiping a statue, they weren't worshiping worldly things. They had a hope for all eternity. And I don't say that this morning picking on Hindu religion. I'm not picking on people from India or any of those things, because you know what? I can see the same thing in everybody's and so many people's eyes in America. And if you look around, if you think about it, you can see that same look and on that same hope and desperation of no hope that they have when you look into their eyes. They just look lost. I was sitting watching traffic one day. I can't remember where I was, maybe up near Lake Monticello somewhere. And I was on patrol and I was sitting there and I was watching the people go to work, and everybody just looked so miserable. I mean, nobody enjoys going to work. That's why they pay you to come to it. But I mean, I remember watching people and they just looked like everybody was just stuck in their routine and doing their thing. And that's how many people are going through life. And that's what Jesus doesn't want that for us. When we're living for worldly things, it could be our sinful pleasures, it could be our possessions, it could be something else that we worship or something else that we spend all of our time and our money on. We're walking around in spiritual blindness. Jesus isn't just talking about our actual eye and our vision, and he's talking about our spiritual well-being. He's talking about our spiritual blindness. Let's go back to John 10:10 that we read earlier. And listen what Jesus tells us. He says, the thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and abundant or a satisfying life. I want to tell you this morning, if you look at the beginning part of that, Satan loves when we are blinded by worldly treasures. He absolutely loves it. When he sees us serving the world, and when he sees us getting wrapped up in our overtime and our money and our bills and all these things that we, and new cars and all these things, and that captivates us, and it takes control of us. And we sit around and we worry about our bills and our money and how are we going to get this and trying to keep up with this person. Satan's sitting there going, I got him. I'm getting him. I'm sinking in my hook. I'm putting the bait on the line. When Satan loves when we fall into those lustful desires, we say, oh, I know that's not good for me, but I want it, so I'm going to go get it. I'm gonna dip into that little bowl of sin, even though I know I shouldn't. It's not good for me. I'm going to go for it anyways because it'll make me happy, and that's what I want to do. We're making Satan's day, and he's loving it. Satan loves when we're worried, when we're blinded by worry, when we're sitting around and we're worried about all these things in this world, maybe even worried about our life. He loves it. Because guess what? If we're doing all those things, we are not having and we're not experiencing a rich and a satisfying life. And that's what Jesus came to give us. The devil has the opposite. He wants to steal our joy. He wants to kill us and he wants to destroy us, church. Jesus came to give us a rich and satisfying life. It goes on and on and on. And that same lost look, that same lost look that I saw in those people, and the same lost look is in our workplace. Sometimes it's even in our church gatherings. It's all around us because we spend so much time storing up our treasures on earth. That's why Jesus talks about our eyes. Because Satan will use our eyes to do what? To deceive us. We see what we want and we go after it with our heart. And once we go after it with all of our heart, we're seeking after it like it's a treasure. You see how this is all falling together? Are coming together. The only thing that we find out about all these worldly things is that it's temporary and it leaves us disappointed every time. No matter how long and how long the run of success is, no matter how long we experience these worldly treasures, eventually, even if it's not until our deathbed, we're going to realize how pointless they really were. Jesus is telling us here that a healthy eye is one that's fixed on God. It's fixed on our heavenly treasures that we have in Christ. Jesus was warning his disciples here on this part of the Sermon on the Mount. He is warning us today of the danger of trying to serve our flesh and to serve God at the same time. It's impossible. What do your eyes look at? What do you watch with your eyes? What do you spend time taking in? It's the lamp of your body. That's where things enter into your brain and into your heart. What do you spend your time looking at? Are they looking at the light or are they staring off into the darkness? This leads right into the last verse of the day, and we're going to close with this. Look at verse 24. Something that jumped out at me this week while reading this fact, the fact that Jesus tells us about serving two masters, something that jumped out at me is Jesus is telling us here that we will have a master. All right, I've read this probably 100 times, and I never really thought about it like this, but he's saying you're going to have a master. Something is your master. Someone is your master. We just have to choose which it will be. And if we have masters, that means that we're what? We're slaves. We're all slaves to something. What are we slaves to? Will we choose to be slaves to material things that are temporary? Or will we choose to serve an eternal God who created us and be a slave to God? It all goes back to our heart. It all goes back to our eyes. It all goes back to what are we serving in this world? What are we seeking after? If we chase after this wealth and this possessions with all of our heart, it will not only enslave our hearts, but it will enslave our minds and every part of our life. Jesus is our master, or money is our master. That's what he just said. Jesus is our master, or sinful pleasures is our master. Jesus is our master, or worry and anxiety and all these things that captivate our mind and that cause us to separate us from God is our master. Is Jesus your master this morning, or are your possessions or something else of this world your master? Really think about it. We so often forget that God saved, God saved me, not just so I could escape hell. He didn't save me just for that reason. He saved me through the blood of Jesus Christ because he has a purpose for me and he wants to use me. He saved you because he wants to put you to work and he wants to use you. See, once we've received the salvation that was given for us through Jesus Christ, we are to be slaves to Christ. I'm going to read that again to you. Once we receive salvation that was given for us through Jesus Christ, we are to be slaves to Christ. Oh, Pastor, I don't know, man. That's now you've gone off the page. Now you lost me. God doesn't want us to be slaves. I thought we were supposed to be free in Christ. What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, this is true, but our freedom in Christ means that we are free from the enslavement of the things of the world. We're free from the enslavement of sin, and we're free from the enslavement of our fleshly desires. That's what freedom in Christ means. And we're free from the penalty of our sins. But it also means this. Freedom in Christ means we're no longer slaves to the world, but we're slaves of God. Don't take my word for it. Take God's word for it. Listen to this. Romans chapter 6, verse 20 through 23 says this. When you were slaves to sin, see, we were once slaves to sin. You were free from the obligation to do right. What was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. I'm not making that up. That's right in the Bible. He goes on to say this. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. In verse 23, we all know this. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Paul also wrote this in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, I am in chains. And what's crazy is he was literally in chains when he wrote this. But he talks about it. He was a slave to God. He was a slave to Christ. He says, I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. Not as I want to, but as I should. He understood that he was now a slave to Christ. So before we close and before we end, I want us to go back to the very beginning of this message and ask ourselves those same questions. What do I spend time thinking about? What is it that's controlling my mind? What is it? What do I spend all my time thinking about? What do I spend time seeking after? And what do I put all my energy into? And if you want to know, if you really want an easy way to go find it, if you say, I don't know, I really can't think of it, go look at your checkbook. Go look at your bank account. It'll tell you what you spend all your time seeking and where your treasure really is. It'll tell you. Whatever the answer is, there is your master. And you know what? If all you think about is the scripture and you spend every day reading the Bible and you're devoted to the Lord, guess what? Praise God. That's your treasure. There's your treasure. But we have to ask ourselves those questions to really discover what we're serving. What are we a slave to? And if we're not serving God, if we're not serving the Lord, if we're caught up in the world, I'm going to tell you right now, and Jesus told us how we fix it. What is the remedy of it? The only way to fix the problem is to start serving the Lord. It's that simple. Just start serving the Lord. He said, you can't have two masters. You're going to have one or the other. So if you want to know how you step away from all the things of the world and you start and you say, God, I want to start, you know, I don't want to worship all these things, but I can't help it. What do I do? Jesus told us right there. He said, just make me your master. Make me your master. Start serving me. Look for a way that you can serve me. I started off talking about that, the nominating committee and all the positions and all the people that we need serving in the church. It doesn't matter whether it's mowing grass. It doesn't matter whether it's cleaning, helping cleaning some of the church. It doesn't matter if it's teaching Sunday school or if it's helping out with a youth group or if it's helping with Bible study, on and on and on, whatever it is. Maybe you want to be a part of the church choir, whatever it is. I'm telling you, we will, once we are allowed to have a church choir again, we would love to have you. Where is God leading you to serve him? Where is it? Are you serving God? And if he wants you to serve, are you willing? As we sing this last song today, turn your eyes upon Jesus.
What's the hymn number?
320. So if you want to go in, you've got the paper. Sorry. I love the part of this song how it says, things of the world will go strangely dim in the light of your glory and your grace. And you know what? When we really start focusing on Jesus, the things of this world grow strangely dim. And it's not hard to do. We just have to ask ourselves those questions. What am I spending all my energy doing? Where are my treasures? If you've never accepted Jesus Christ, if you've never accepted that eternal, that heavenly treasure of salvation this morning, I would invite you to come as we sing. I'll be right up here at the front. If you want to pray, if you need prayer, whatever it is, if you want to join this church and this body of believers, whatever it is, come as we sing. And if not, let God at least speak to you and really let Him talk to you what it is that you need to change. Maybe it's something you need to get rid of, a master in your life that you need to turn your focus on Jesus. Amen. All right, so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's close, and then we'll enjoy the rest of the day. Lord, we love you again, and we just praise you. Father, we just thank you for your grace, and we thank you that, God, that we do have heavenly treasures. And Lord, I just pray that you would help me, that you would help everybody who's here today, everybody who listened online, everybody who reads the passage that we read today. God, that you would show us, what we're slaves to. Convict our hearts, that we might turn to you, turn our eyes upon Jesus, and begin to serve you, not only individually, but as a church, Lord. We want to serve you. We want to be your slaves, because you gave it all for us on the cross. Lord, we love you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Have a great day.